It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Day before Halloween, Halloween Eve, I guess, if you want to call it that. And I think DOTD is messing with my mind because when I drove across the Crescent City Connection about an hour and a half ago, it was lit up in pink, and now it's purple and green, it looks like, or blue and green. I think it changed. I don't know. If y'all were driving around, let me know, because maybe I'm losing my mind, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe it's the campaign. Anyway, hot, really, throughout Halloween, warm and humid and no cold front and on the horizon. So be aware of that. Maybe a chance for showers on Halloween, as they say. Check the radar before you go out. We're going to talk about infant care. How much does it cost around the country? Alex Gailey joins us now, lead data reporter at Bankrate. Good morning, Alex. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Tell me what it is that Bankrate studied here. What are we talking about?
We looked at the percentage of income that a typical family in each state would have to allocate to afford average infant care costs. And for the purposes of our study, we considered average prices for full-time daycare for one infant. And what we found is that in 48 states and the District of Columbia, daycare full-time for one infant costs families at least 10% of their income.
What effect does that have on the individual families? What effect does it have on the economy?
Childcare is expensive, it's hard to find, and even harder to afford, which can have a significant impact on the economy. I've seen research and estimates that the U.S. economy could be losing out on billions per year because of high childcare costs, and it does have a ripple effect on families, businesses, and the workforce. Families feel financially constrained, which in turn affects their spending, and we know that consumer spending makes up a large portion of the U.S. GDP. When the cost of childcare is high, businesses can lose workers, particularly women, who decide it may make more financial sense for them to stop working and stay home to be caregivers. And that ultimately affects who is in the workforce, too.
So as we talk about this, it strikes me that I would think the price of childcare is relatively fixed, although you can opt for the premium if you want. Everybody wants the best for their kids, naturally. But the income does not go up on a sliding scale, as does the price of childcare. If that's fixed, people that are making $100,000 a year are going to have a lot less problem than somebody making $20,000 a year and trying to go to work.
Yeah, so when we looked at estimates across the country, childcare costs do vary based on cost of living, that state's supply and demand for childcare, and likely the makeup of their workforce. And ultimately, in places that are more expensive, like New York and Hawaii, costs are really high. Income is also higher, but even with higher income, we're talking a typical family still having to allocate maybe around 20% of their income just to afford full-time daycare for one infant. Now, infant care tends to be the costliest across age groups, but even when I looked at the data for other age groups, the costs for full-time care don't go down that significantly as children age, really up until, you know, they get to that point where they can go to school. And so it is still eating into a big portion of families' budgets, really for years, and it can affect their ability to save, invest, and pay down debt.
So are we talking about birth to what in this study? Four or five?
Birth to up to 12 months old. So really focused on that first year. But there is estimates for toddler care, for four-year-olds. And while those costs decreased little by little. They're still significant. They're thousands of dollars annually for full-time care.
I would think at some point, and look, we're talking about the economic effects here. There are certainly social effects and psychological effects and everything else having a child. I don't know if you have kids or not, but it'll change your life completely and totally, especially that first year. When it comes to lost productivity, did this study look at that at all or not?
We did not look at lost productivity, but that is a huge problem in the childcare industry, is that the childcare industry is treated as a private market, and it has struggled to grow and be profitable, and it has struggled with productivity. There's a lot of turnover, staffing shortages in the childcare industry because childcare workers are paid fairly low, within the 5% of all occupations in the U.S. In terms of wages. So productivity is certainly a huge issue in the childcare industry, and trying to increase that. And that's ultimately why costs have risen so much over the last three decades, over 1.5 times faster than overall inflation.
Well, you know, when you look at the work that, and this is just an aside, I guess, Alex, when you look at the work that those caring for elderly people in nursing homes and the importance of the work that those caring for infants and the compensation that they receive, boy, we have a big problem in this country, don't we?
Yes, it is a significant issue for child care providers to be earning, you know, fair wages and to be, you know, valued in the workforce. And it's the same, it's a similar issue for those who take care of our elders as well. And that ultimately comes down to the fact that the child care industry has razor thin profit margins. 70 to 80% of cost of child care is really due to staff costs, because providers need high ratios of adults to children for basic health and safety reasons. There's also a lot of regulation in the child care industry, even though it is a private market, which can make, you know, makes things more costly when you're having to make sure you're staffed enough to stay open and you're following regulation rules within your state and federally.
Now let's talk about some solutions maybe when we come back, or ways to make it better. We're talking to Alex Gailey, lead data reporter at Bankrate. She talks about a lot of things with the economy. Today we're talking about their study as it relates to the high cost of infant child care. And I would ask you, text me at 504-260-1870. If you're a grandparent or a parent and you have an infant, how do you handle that first year? Or how did you handle that first year of child care? Was it a family member? Did you find somebody you trusted? And how much of a bite out of your budget did it take? 621 Traffic Now, WWL. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier, and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
624, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Alex Gailey, lead data reporter for Bankrate. You can follow her on Twitter at Alex_Gailey. Did I say that right, Alex?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Thank you.
And you know it's her because she's got a big coffee cup that she's holding. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Because they got other Alex Gaileys. That's the only reason I said that, so people get the right one. So we were talking earlier about the high cost of child care, and this is especially bad in New York. Is that what the study showed?
Yeah, so there are states where infant care specifically is more affordable and less affordable. And the states that were least affordable were New Mexico, Hawaii, and New York. We didn't take policy reform and regulation into account in this study. So while New Mexico is the least affordable for infant care, New Mexico has enacted some policy in the last few years that has tried to make childcare more accessible for most families, virtually free for a lot of families in New Mexico. And with New York specifically, I mean, a typical family there would spend around 20% of their income for full-time daycare for one infant if they don't qualify for any subsidies.
This is a little bit off the subject, but one thing, having been to New York a couple of different times, I don't understand how, like, for example, let's just take, for example, you know, in Times Square, the stores or whatever, where they got the security guys and the blue blazers, right? They can't make that much money, but yet it costs a lot of money to live in New York. So I don't understand how that model works, or for anybody really that's not making a lot of money in New York. How is it survivable? What am I missing, Alex?
Well, in New York, we looked at the state level. Of course, where you live specifically in New York is going to make a huge difference. If you live in upstate New York, affordability is going to look a lot different for you than if you live in the city. I know that I've seen research for New York City that has talked a lot about just the child care crisis in New York City specifically, and having to be a lot of demand but not enough supply, and costs going through the roof. You know, really what it comes down to when you live in a higher cost of living is trying to increase your income to, you know, be able to survive and live off of that cost of living in that area. But a lot of parents are having to get creative with their budgets to afford childcare. They're cutting costs. They're budgeting meticulously. They're finding ways to increase their income through side hustles. You know, common cost cutting strategies could be limiting vacations or shopping only what's on sale that week at the grocery store. I mean, people are having to get really creative to afford childcare.
I like to get the audience involved. Somebody texted in and said, childcare like college has doubled in price because more and more government subsidies. Duh. Is there any evidence to indicate any of that at all?
Yeah, it's a great question on, you know, what is kind of contributing to rising costs. Based on the policy experts that I spoke to, what they pointed to was the fact that childcare industry actually has very limited state and federal funding, which ultimately squeezes both childcare providers, who then passes those costs off to families seeking care. You know, really on both sides, supply and demand, everyone is stretched pretty thin and to their maximum when it comes to child care. And like I said earlier, really the cost of child care, the high cost of it, is really due to those staff costs. A lot of that is going to the fact that we need higher ratios of adults to children. But the dilemma is that those people that are entering those industries are not getting paid well.
So, you know, don't let me hurt myself here economically, because, you know, I had close to 9 hours of it in college. But when it comes to the demand, there's a lot of demand that's chasing too few goods or too few services when it comes to child care. However, the market forces can't work because there's not enough money behind the demand, but it's not, I'm really going to show off here, it's not Elastic or Inelastic, whichever one it is, because you need childcare. It's not like that's something you can do without, right? So this seems like a puzzle that's hard to put together. Did I mess anything up?
Yes, it's a really complex issue, and it's something that families are not willing to sacrifice on quality of, rightfully so. You want your child to go to the best child care provider that you can afford within your budget. So it's a cost that a lot of families are willing to eat and take because they want the best for their children. And it's not optional, especially if you don't have family that you can rely on. It's something that you have to figure out in your budget, and you have to cut back in other areas to afford it.
So the traditional model, whatever one it is, supply, demand, market forces, that really is not a resolution here, because it's not something that you can do without, and people make a fixed amount of money, and the daycare people, there's not a lot of incentive to expand or to hire employees and pay a lot more, because there's only so much people can pay, right?
That's what I've been told by policy experts that I've spoken to on this issue, is exactly that, yes.
Okay. Thank you, Alex. I appreciate your time, and we'll have you back to talk about some other research that you've done, all right?
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. Alex Gailey, lead data reporter at Bankrate. You can follow her on Twitter at Alex, A-L-E-X, underscore G-A-I-L-E-Y. She got some interesting things posted there. When we come back, we're going to talk to Leah Long, director of the Louisiana chapter of the National Federation of Independent Businesses, about the special session, small businesses, and taxes. Right now, time for WWL First News. 6:45, quarter till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by our friend Leah Long, Director of the Louisiana Chapter of the National Federation of Independent Businesses. How are you, Ms. Long?
Hey, good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Okay, it's okay to call you Leah or Leah?
Yeah, Leah. Leah's okay. Fine.
Let's talk about, man, I was talking to Newell Norman yesterday about inventory taxes, and he was the, what do you call this, officios tax collector, whatever they, however they phrase it, for, you know, Sheriff of Jefferson Parish. And he tried to explain the inventory tax and the tax credits and how, I guess, and then people were texting in about, with the inventory tax, apparently you inflate the inventory, or some places do inflate the inventory once a year, and then that's in order to get state tax credit. I don't understand how any of this works. Take me through it.
Well, for us, inventory tax, obviously, we're looking at that because it does help locals. I know that the plan is something the locals can either opt in or opt out, and I think if they opt out, then they're out for good, basically forever until we ever do anything
with taxes. Go slow. What do you mean, local governments?
So local government, I think they get, obviously, tax money from inventory tax. And so they're going to be able to opt in or opt out. So if they opt out, they're going to be able to, I think, collect $15 million, which is the cap that I think the state's going to give them.
In credits.
And so in credits, yes. So they can, I'm pretty sure from what Richard Nelson was saying, that they can get that in a lump sum of $15 million, or they could kind of split it up. And then if they opt in, they're going to be able to stay in and collect inventory tax.
So, let me go slow, Dawn, because again, I don't know anything about any of this. I don't think a lot of the listeners do either. They don't own small businesses, so I'm trying to understand this. When you say $15 million, that's not everybody gets $15 million. That's the cap.
Yeah, not everyone.
Yeah, okay.
That's the cap, yeah. Right. Like smaller parishes, obviously, if there's not a lot of businesses in that area, you know, businesses that have a ton of inventory, you know, they're not probably getting that 15. But if you think about like the river parishes that have a lot of, the big companies, that kind of stuff, that are going to have a lot of inventory on hand, they're probably getting more. So I know that's one thing the locals have kind of talked about to the state and talked to LDR about. And that's one of those things that, we're interested in, we're looking at, because obviously some of our businesses do have inventory and they're going to have to be on top of that. But one of the biggest things for us, though, that we've been looking at is obviously lowering the personal income tax rate. That's kind of our biggest thing. That's always been a big thing because most of the small businesses file their taxes as pass-through entities. And so that's one thing. You know, we're just kind of monitoring the plan right now. We're looking at it, which everyone always says that, the bills coming in on November 6th may not look the same on November 25th. Mm-hmm. And so far, our biggest issue is, the sales tax. It's not really an issue, but it's just an admin issue that, these small business owners that have not ever had to collect or remit taxes, they're going to have to do that if they fall in those 41 categories of services. So I think there's going to have to be a lot of education done to teach business owners how to do it. I mean, thinking about me myself, you tell me, hey, I need to collect sales tax on something, I don't know where the first place to start. You know what I mean? So a business owner that's never had to do it, they're going to have to learn how to do it.
You think you don't know where to start? I'm asking you to explain it to me. So when you so the whole idea behind this reform package, as I understand it, is to shift it from income tax to more of a sales tax. Accurate?
Yes, shifting it from that to be able to lower your income tax, basically.
So
expanding that on the services. Lowering the corporate tax rate down to 3.5 or 3% also. So just going toward a flat rate. So it's basically shifting it from income taxes down to, service taxes. There's different things on there, getting rid of inventory tax. Basically, it's just a package to lower your income tax rate.
So what the members of the organization, what do they think is going to help them more? Lowering personal income tax, which gives people more money to spend, or lowering sales tax, because if you lower income tax and raise sales tax, they have more money to spend, but they're spending it on sales tax. Am I oversimplifying this or not?
No, I mean, that's basically pretty much how simple it is. I mean, money works. You get more money, you spend it on more if goods and services cost more, you know what I mean? But we're working with our members. We're polling them, kind of see where they're at. But right now, we're just kind of watching it. Like I said earlier, you know, this may not be what comes out of the final picture on November 25th and what makes it to Jeff Landry's desk. And so it's just one of those monitoring, because we want to make Louisiana better to do business in. We want to make people be able to grow their businesses here. And, you know, if this package somehow helps do that and we can all come to a middle ground on things, and that's a great thing because we want to make Louisiana succeed.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Leah Long, director of Louisiana chapter of the National Federation of Independent Businesses, about the governor's tax reform program. We're going to talk tomorrow, I think, with Richard Nelson, the revenue secretary, try to get the details from him. And I'll do some more homework to try to understand all of this. 6:50, 10 till 7, traffic now, WWL. 6:54, 6 till 7. Now the DOTD is just playing mind games with me, because now the Crescent City Connection lights are purple and gold. They started at pink. They went to green and purple, I think. Now they're purple and gold. That or I'm losing my mind. Leah Long, director of Louisiana chapter of the National Federation of Independent Businesses. Now that I think about it, it could be both, right? They could be changing lights, and I could be losing my mind as well. They're not mutually exclusive. Speaking of losing your mind, I think the last time you and I spoke, you were getting ready to pour through that binder of the initial plan. I can't even begin to imagine, because we said earlier that it was almost as simple as you lower the personal income tax side so you give people more to spend, but you're still taking it right back because you're charging them sales tax. How does that make it a more favorable environment for people to come in and do business? Or are there things that aren't being discussed, the devil in the details, that I'm not understanding here? Talk to me about that, Leah.
Well, a lot of it is going to be the devil in details when it's the final legislation that comes out. But, you know, for a small business owner operating in, you know, operating in Louisiana or wanting to move to Louisiana, if they do file, as you know, they file the personal level. And so in reality, yeah.
I don't know that at all. What do you mean they file at the personal level?
Okay. So they file a pass-through entity. So the money that they make in their business, they file on a personal income tax rate. Okay. Most of them do. Typically they do. I would say about majority of our members do their LLCs, or, you know, they file as the personal income tax rate every year. And so, you know, if that rate is lower, that is going to benefit them in the end. And so I think that's kind of a mindset, but also all the other states around us. And I know this is a big push from the governor's office and Richard Nelson's office, just because, you know, to stay competitive in the South, we have the highest personal income tax rate right now. You know, Mississippi's lowering theirs. Arkansas just lowered theirs. So I think it's, you know, to attract people to not only live here, but do business here. Because you hear about Texas all the time. You know, they have no personal income tax rate. You know, we're always trying to compete with Texas. But I love how Secretary Bourgeois always says, you know, it's perception. You know, it's not about actual reality. It's perception. Yeah, Texas seems better, but they also have a lot of other things that we don't have too, that, you know,
taxes
may help our businesses. Yeah, property taxes, that kind of stuff. But be able to create an environment for Louisiana, you know, everyone can make more money here and their businesses can do well here. But it is where it does shift from, you know, income tax to sales tax. And, you know, they sell it as these are optional items. Some of them are, but there's going to be a lot of devil in the details when it comes to educating these business owners. You know, how do I collect my sales tax? How do I remit it? And there's a lot of different things. You know, I think it's one of them is remodeling, I think, is actually on there. So it's, you know, these business owners that own a construction company, or if they do HVAC work or something like that, you know, being able to decide, okay, this isn't a new build, so I don't have to, this is a new build, so I don't have to charge sales tax on that. But if you're doing remodeling or home installation or something like that, so I think it's going to be about how you educate these business owners to be able to even, you know, comply with that and be able to collect the revenue they're wanting to from the sales tax. That's a big thing too. You know, they've put these numbers in to assume like this is how much they're going to collect. And so to do that, you need to educate the business owners and make sure that they know how to do it correctly, so we're not in another budget shortfall and all this plan works out.
So something just kind of clicked in my head. The light bulb went off when you talked about small business owners filing personally and lowering the personal income tax rate. I looked at lowering the income tax rate as a way of getting people to move here, when in fact that's not what it is. It's about business owners and the tax that they pay on their profits. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, it's also about moving here, too. You want to move to a state that, you know, you talk to people that live in California, and, you know, they want to move to somewhere that, you know, obviously is better than California, but also, you know, where they're going to be able to keep more of their money. The ideal goal of being an American, obviously, keep more money in your pocket instead of paying it to government.
But there are also a lot of other considerations, right, about where you live?
Yeah, a lot of other considerations, too. But, you know, being able to lower it so these people have more money, they actually, you know, can put more money back in their business. And that's one of the things I think as a small business owner, a lot of these people, yeah, they're making profits with their business, but they're also, like, that's their money that they've made also. So they're putting it back into their business. And so I think when you think about a small business owner, it's not a big corporation. You know, this is their money that they've made all year, and they can turn around and invest it back into their business to expand or, you know, do some renovation on their business to make it better.
Yeah, I was just talking about the incentive portion of it primarily is what I was asking.
Yeah, I mean, the different incentives, which I think that's something LED is going through, you know, different sides of that. But, yeah, an incentive of owning a business and doing a business, you know, and starting one here is if it does have a...
And being able to keep more of your well-earned
keep
profits.
More. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah,
right?
Keep more to be able to have a business in Louisiana. And if is the income tax rate is lower, that is more of an incentive to own a business here.
Starts on November 6th, got to end by November 25th. You think that's enough time to get through all of this?
That's a fast 20 days,
yeah.
So we'll see. But I know it's going to move fast. Everyone's anticipating that it's going to you got to come in and we're going to rock and roll. And the good thing about it is, you know, they want to get this done. It's going to go on the ballot in March. But you turn around in April, there's a fiscal session. And I heard people say, yes, you know, if something doesn't work out correctly or we need to make changes, we're going to turn around after Article 7's on the ballot, if it passes or fails, and then be able to come in April for a fiscal session. And hopefully if there's anything that needs to be changed or we need to update, we'll be able to do that then, too.
Thank you. Appreciate the time, Leah Long. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Zee Zerang about the Mid-Barrett Area sediment diversion and the delays and the mess that it has become. Back in a flash, WWL.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.